Happy Pentecost. Happy Pentecost to you too. It's the often forgotten feast of the church, but it's the second highest feast in the entire church year. There's Easter, and then there's Pentecost, and every other feast falls beneath that. And this feast of Pentecost is intimately connected with Easter. That will begin, you guys who have been to an Easter vigil, you've seen it, right? Everything begins in darkness. Because Jesus is dead. It's his corpse lying in a grave. But then, with just the light, right? This Easter candle, which is going to go back by the baptismal font after today. This candle is lit. And then soon the whole church is filled with this light. It's the light of the resurrection. It's the light of hope. It's the light of Christ. The light that guides us. It's the light that now in Pentecost isn't just this exterior light guiding us, but it's this light and this flame up there in Pentecost. That flame now enters inside of us. The flame, which is the life of God, enters into our very souls. And that is the Holy Spirit, the often forgotten person of the Trinity. God the Father, yes. God the Son, Jesus, of course. But the Holy Spirit is the love between them. It is this life of the Trinity. It's this life of God. Because what happens? When you take a body and you separate the spirit from it, what happens? It dies. Death is the spirit separating from the body. Jesus upon the cross, he took his last breath. And he gave up his spirit. Spirit, the breath. And what was it that rose him from the dead? It was God the Father breathing the breath of life back into him. Filling him again with his Holy Spirit. Think of the very moment of the resurrection. Jesus' corpse lying dead in the grave. And the Father sends the Holy Spirit through which he created everything, and he breathes it back into his Son with a breath. And he's filled with the light of God, the Shroud of Turin. If you've never heard of it, look it up. It's incredible. It's this photo imprint of the moment of the resurrection, because Jesus' whole corpse was filled with the entire light of God himself, the Holy Spirit. All of the light of heaven is filled into his body. And he rises from the dead. And this fire, this Holy Spirit, is what fills the corpse of the church. The church Jesus had formed, right, was his apostles. But yet it was frozen in fear. Those apostles, for 50 days, had seen the resurrected Jesus. They had been with him, but yet they were still locked in the upper room in fear of death. But when God sent his Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, and they were filled with that, all of a sudden the body that was the church, these apostles, received the Spirit, and that body became alive. It was filled with life, with God's life. And now something had happened. They were no longer living in fear. They were no longer ruled by death, but rather they were ruled by the life of God alive within them. And this is what they went and proclaimed out to the world. This life that they had received of the resurrection of Jesus, the life of God. That's what filled them, And that's what overflowed from them to the whole world. When we're baptized, because we have a human spirit that's fallen, when we're baptized into Jesus, that human spirit dies, but we're given, in place of it, the Spirit of God within us. That's why when we die, if we die with the Holy Spirit alive within us, in the state of grace, with God's life alive within us, in the state of grace, our bodies will not remain dead forever. Why? Because they have this other life within them that's waiting for God to call it forth. That's that life which will raise us from the dead. That's that life when you're in the state of grace, when you have Jesus' life flowing through your veins, what fills you with God's life even now. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God's breath within you. This is God's life within you. And this is what vivifies, it's what gives life to the church, which is the body of Christ. St. Teresa of Avila, right? That famous line of hers, Jesus has no body now but yours. Jesus has no hands and feet now to go out to the world to bring healing but yours. Jesus has no voice now but yours. Why? Because the church is his body on earth. And through the church, we receive the sacramental body and blood of Jesus Christ. This very life renewed within us continually. This Holy Spirit is everything. And it completes what was begun at the resurrection. And it's the life that is alive in the church now. Now. And throughout all of the history of the church. We just returned our pilgrimage group on Friday night from our pilgrimage to the holy sites of Italy, to the very heart and beginnings of the church in Rome, to the places of some of the great saints and some of the great reforming saints through the history of the church, Francis and Clare of Assisi, Catherine of Siena, saints from the 20th century. And one of the incredible graces, one of the things that a pilgrimage does for a person is it can break a person out of a prison in which we can make ourselves prisoners of the present moment. Prisoners of the present moment in which our vision of the world and of life and of God becomes very fixed just on what's happening right now. And so we look at the world and we think, man, it's really messed up. True. We look in the church and we see all the stuff that's in need of renewal, new life. Man, there's a lot of stuff messed up. True. But we become a prisoner of the moment. And we can live in fear. And that fear manifests itself in all sorts of ways. Anger, everything from anger about something in the world, in the church, to just indifference. Just like, blah, I'll just consume myself with work and little hobbies and stuff to keep me busy. And I'll keep all the rest of this religion stuff at a distance. It manifests itself in lots of ways, fear does. But something in which there's many things the church gives us, but one of them it gives us to break us out of that prison is to go on a pilgrimage and to encounter the saints and the church and to see the full history of it. To go from the earliest years in the catacombs through all the ages of the church and to see the bigger history of the church. That the problems we face are very similar to the problems faced in every age in the church and in the world. And also to see something even more important, that the Holy Spirit is at work and alive in the church now. Just as the Holy Spirit has been alive and at work in the church in every age. Because the church, because it has the Holy Spirit, it's a body that's alive. And as the world changes and as the different problems change, the church is able to be a living body that's able to respond to it. And this is what the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles in their own age. It's what the Holy Spirit gives to the saints of the church in every age. And it's what the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us, the church now, in our own age. To be saints that the church and the world needs now. One of the most beautiful graces for me on the pilgrimage was our last full day. We went to a little town called Norcia. It's the birthplace of Saint Benedict and Scholastica, the two founders of the Benedictines. Back in the 4th century, back in an age when the world was falling apart and when the church was in crisis. And we visited with the monk who refounded the community, the Benedictine monk community there at Norcia. And he told us, pilgrims, he told us essentially that what the church needs now are for us to be the saints who aren't looking for other people to fix these problems. The problems in the world, the problems in the church. Wow, I wish someone would come to be able to fix it. We look for other people to do that. But he said, no, this is what God is calling you to do. To essentially be the saints of our time. And God has given us the power to be able to do that through his life, which is the Holy Spirit. God is alive and he's very active in his church. The church is alive, and it's alive because the Holy Spirit is alive within us. This is the tremendous power of this great feast, in which God pours his Holy Spirit down anew and afresh and transforms us as he transformed the apostles from being cowards to men and women of courage. Courage because the Holy Spirit is alive within us. Because we're not ruled by fear, which comes because of death, but rather we have the Spirit of God and life alive within us. Because Jesus is alive within us. Because his Spirit is there. And so I ask and pray this, the great prayer of the Holy Spirit, the Veni Sanctus Spiritus, over us this morning, that we might be filled entirely with the Spirit, and that our hearts might be set on fire with the love of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten the hearts of your faithful, enkindle within them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they will be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. Amen.